and welcome to the Marvel at Jesus podcast from Life 90.5, where we talk with Christian music artists and more about the things that wow them about Jesus. I'm Mandy Bowman. Joining me today, Michael Cochran of Cochran & Company.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm at my house in Indiana today. I'm off the road for a couple days of rest, and then we go back out for our tour, but today I'm home.
Good for you. Nice little break for you, for sure. All right, so the Marvel at Jesus podcast is mostly about talking about the things that wow us about Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a minute and talk about your music, too. But first, a couple silly questions to really get to know Michael Cochran a lot better. Okay, you ready for this?
All right.
Okay, first one. Would you rather give up air conditioning and heat for the rest of your life or give up the internet for the rest of your life?
Internet.
Internet. That was like zero hesitation. Why is it internet?
Yeah. I already don't like, I feel like it already ruins lives. like in so many ways. Like, I feel like AC and heat has saved so many lives. I know it saves mine. I don't know. I wrestle with like this, the social media and all that stuff, you know, and like, but I think I could do without that easier, you know, personally, because I don't ever like being hot.
Same.
I don't like to sweat, and so air conditioning is my best friend, so I can make that sacrifice. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I keep my house temperature honestly stays about 68 degrees. So yep. Where do you keep yours?
in the summertime we do 71, but at night I'll do 68. That's my wife and I's compromise. We have to split the difference. And then in the winter, but see, for her it's all about like the energy bill. It's not that she doesn't want to be cold. She'll suffer in the wintertime. I suffer in the summer. She suffers in the winter for the energy bill. So we keep our house at like 67 in the winter. So that's pretty chilly, but we make up for it in the summer.
There you go. That makes sense to me. I like it. Okay. Compromise, making a marriage work, like super good.
That's right.
You. Okay. Yeah. All right. One more silly question for you. Would you rather have, if you could pick one of these two, a personal maid or a personal chef?
Oh, personal chef.
Oh, really? What would you have your personal chef make for you?
I mean, I guess whatever I wanted every day, but it would mainly be probably a mixture of chicken fajitas and like on most days, and then maybe like a good lasagna or spaghetti. I'm simple. I'm easy to please. I just like Mexican food, Italian food.
Yes, for sure. So you'd be happy just cleaning up your home by yourself the rest of your life forever if you just had someone make you all the food, right?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You don't have to have a clean house to live, but you gotta have food, you know? You can live in a dirty house. I did it when I was a bachelor for many years.
Oh my. Oh my gosh, I love the logic though. I mean, you're not wrong, and I'm sure your wife probably appreciates you not being a bachelor with a messy house all the time anymore, right?
Yes, yeah, she's whipped me into shape for sure. I mean, you know, she's trained me on how to. Usually, if I'm home and I'm able to help, like if we're together, I'll be like I'll dust and I'll vacuum. But she doesn't trust my cleaning ability in like the bathrooms and the kitchen. So she wants to know she did it and it's clean her way, you know, which I'm okay with. I think that's fair. I can dust, you know, it's hard to mess up dusting. It's
that's true.
It can be done. It can be done, but it's hard to mess it up.
Yeah. Well, I don't trust my husband with the laundry. He often puts like the wrong things into the dryer. I'm like, no, this does not go in there. So I have to do all of the laundry for sure. So that's very. I like that there's some common marriage experiences here.
Yes.
you're really a normal person, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
that's great. All right, so Michael, this podcast again is mostly to talk about what we love about Jesus, what just wows us about his character or a Bible story we've seen. So what is it for you that wows you about Jesus?
Gosh, that's such a tough question. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is just his kindness. His kindness towards me in my life. I guess you could say, I mean, that would wrap all. It would be related to his long suffering, to his patience, to there's just been so many moments in my life over my 31 years that I feel like if I was in his shoes, I would have been fed up. You know, I would have said, that's enough. You know, I'm not going to listen to your empty prayers anymore or whatever, you know. And Christ has just shown himself kind to me over and over again, with tangible blessings and things like that, and just the family that I have. But more than that, just the spiritual blessing of he just continues to care for me and shows up in little ways in my life of things I pray for that really don't matter necessarily in the scheme of things, but he just decides to answer those prayers just in his kindness. And, you know, I think I first experienced the kindness of Jesus when I was in college. I believe that I was a Christian before that, but it really, those few months in my sophomore year of college, it was whenever I really began to meet Jesus, and my faith maybe became my own in more ways. I was raised in the church. I kind of had a relationship through other people, if that makes sense, my parents or whatever. But college was the years I really started to read the word for myself, and it became more of just a prayer I prayed when I was 8 and got baptized and believed it as a worldview structure, you know, the Christian worldview, because, you know, I believed that God created and that Jesus died for me, all those things, but it didn't have any real effect on my life or my heart or my mindset or my attitudes until college. And it was the kindness of Jesus, because it was like he opened my eyes to see the depth of my sin. I think a lot of people, you know, it's easy for us just to walk around thinking that we're basically just good people. But when you compare yourself to the character of Jesus and his model in scripture and what the Bible says about how we're supposed to live, we all fall so far short of that. I think that's step one in understanding the gospel, is our need for the gospel and how much we need Jesus. And I was hit with that need one night in college at a Bible study. It's like I just saw it. It was like kind of like Isaiah in the scripture when he talks about he saw God and he fell to his knees, like, woe is me. Yeah. Like in the presence of God's holiness. And I had that moment and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I shouldn't even be alive right now. This is, how has God let me walk this way for so long and not just struck me down, you know, in my ignorance, my rebellion, whatever. And so I just, in my spiritual nakedness, in my moment of like, oh my gosh, this is what I've become. This is what I am. Like Jesus just met me there with kindness. It was like a tangible, like almost like a hug of grace, of like, you know, I'm not going to leave you. Just the promises of his word as I was reading and as I was praying. And I don't know. I think that would just be kind of my marveling. And I've just seen it over and over again in seasons of, you know, the past. I've been walking with Christ now for, I guess it'd be 12 years. Like really walking with Christ, and I just seen his kindness over and over again.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a little earlier about the kindness, even in the little things, the prayers that you think kind of don't matter. And I mean, we love God's big kindness, you know, his forgiving us of our sin and giving us salvation and transforming our lives, right? But it's those little kindnesses that often wow me too. It's just like you care about these little things that I pray for. So what's something little that God has cared for and shown you kindness in that really surprised you?
I mean, we travel so much for our work, obviously, we're touring musicians. We're always gone, and there's so many logistics that go into that. Flights and rental cars and hotels and all that stuff. And so many things can go wrong in getting from point A to point B. And oftentimes those things do go wrong. And that's where I've seen God just bless in little ways, you know, on our touring schedule. Is like, first of all, it seems like those things go right more than wrong for us, which in itself is a blessing. We're always praying every day, okay, God, can we get to the show on time from this show? Like, especially in the summer, it's like we have to get from New Mexico to Wisconsin. And if we don't make it there, if this flight doesn't happen, we don't play the show. And,
oh, my.
Recently, we were coming home from Seattle back to Nashville. And our flight got it was a 12:30 a.m. red eye flight, and it got delayed to 2 a.m., which meant we were going to miss our connection, which meant we were going to be stranded in Minneapolis. So long story short, we were all, it was me and my wife and some of our band members and crew, we were just in the airport like a gut punch of like, oh, we're not going to get home for this like two off days that we have, this rest. We've been gone for 11 days. We're going to be gone for 10 more. These are the only 2 days we're going to be home. We have like, and we just were all throwing it up. And we were just like, God, can you help us, you know, anything. And pretty soon we started getting like notifications on our phone from like our Delta representatives or whatever. And it was just like each one of us got it worked out where we were going to get home that next day. And it was just a little kindness of like, you know, mm-hmm. Lord, please don't let us get stuck here in Seattle or Minneapolis. As nice as those cities are, we want to go home, you know. And it just seems like God just takes care of us, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm reminded, I've got a friend who's a missionary in India, and he always says, God knows what we need. He says it over and over again. That's kind of like his philosophy. And I've tried to make it mine, is just to remind myself moment by moment, like, God knows what we need. And he gives us what we need, and it's not always what we want, and it's not always what we think we want, but he's kind to us. And yeah. If a father doesn't withhold things from their children, then God wouldn't withhold things from us, you know?
Yeah. What a sweet story. I mean, it's obviously, it wouldn't have killed you if y'all didn't get home for a couple days right. of rest. You would have survived that. But what sweetness of the Lord say, you know, I know y'all need your rest. I'm going to make sure y'all are going to get home for some of that. I love that.
It's just kind. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, unneeded blessings. And that's just like God just does that so often, you know.
Amen. It's something that that I think we often overlook, or you know thank you God and move on our way, when in reality they just pile up over and over and over yeah. again. And then, and if you just take a look at those things, it's like, wow, God is so nice, right?
And you have to have the heart posture of seeing it as something that God, you know, like, it's easy to become entitled with God. I think it's like, I pray my prayers, I read my Bible, you owe me this, like, you owe me an easy life, or you owe me, you know, no hardship or no inconveniences or whatever. And that's, you know, God doesn't owe us anything. And so every good thing that we receive, every easy thing that happens to us, every easy travel logistic, every time the grocery store had the brand we hoped they would have, like, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like, God didn't have to, he doesn't owe us that. It's just blessing and kindness. And if we see it that way, all of life becomes a little more beautiful, I think.
Ah, so good, Michael. Let's preach right there. Like, oh, that was great. Okay. No, that is amazing. I love that so much. Okay. So we don't have much time left, so let's pivot to talking about your music a little bit. I have one big question about that. Cochran and Company, who is Company? Like, I know you're the Michael part, but who's the rest?
Yeah, well, my wife is in the band, so she has been in my band now for 8 years. We've been married for 8 years, and so she just joined up both ways, you know, spouse and band member for life. But she plays some keyboard, guitar, background vocals. I also have a guitar player named Will, a drummer named Zach, and a bass player named Clint, and they are the Company. And, you know, it's funny, my first several tours I did, you know, when you're like a new artist on a big tour, a lot of times they'll give you like one bunk on the tour bus, so you can't really bring your band sometimes, whatever. And so I would always sit with the crowd, and I would say, all right, I'm Cochran and Company. I don't have my band tonight, so I'll be Cochran and you be my Company, and we'll just make this happen. And,
yes.
And, you know, it was kind of endearing. They were all like, yeah, this is going to be cool. But I wish that some of them had actually played instruments, because that would have
right. You should have held some auditions beforehand or something, you know?
Yeah, like, do we have a drummer in the house? Anybody? Right. Anybody at all?
That's amazing. Okay, so you've had some really incredible songs out. Like, Take Me Back was amazing. Running Home is one of my favorites. And now Parking Lot is big on radio right now. So what's new for you in the music world? What you got coming up?
Well, we've got a new Christmas song that's going to come out soon. It's a cover of one of my favorites. I don't know if I can divulge the name of it yet, but it's one of my favorite Christmas songs, so I'm excited to put our version out. We've got a Christmas tour coming up across the Midwest and North Carolina and Atlanta area. Just 12 shows. It's going to be really fun. But we're on tour with We Are Messengers right now, getting ready to go to the East Coast. And we're just having a great time playing music, making music. And, I mean, I'm always working on new music, too. So there'll be a new album coming before we all know it. So
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. It's like, I'm all about the new music from some of my favorite artists. So, yay. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today for the Marvel at Jesus podcast. Michael, this has been amazing. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I really loved our conversation.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the Marvel at Jesus podcast, go ahead and subscribe so you can get the next episode as soon as it comes out from Life 90.5.